It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, you can be somebody that doesn't exactly meet the exact criteria for bulimia or anorexia, but you could still have a very troubled relationship with distorted body image or with food. And we're talking about eating disorders and kind of how they develop. My guest is President and CEO of the National Eating Disorders Association, Lynn Grief. So, Lynn, how would somebody know if they have an eating disorder? I mean, does it only take a loved one to recognize it, or can you kind of recognize one in yourself and stop it before it gets really too bad?
We actually just launched a screening tool, an online screening tool, on our website. So if people go to www.nationaleatingdisorders.org, they can find it. And I think it's also mybodyscreening.org. But yeah, I mean, most people, I think, that have an eating disorder, they know that something's wrong, but they don't always have a diagnosis. If they're young, they don't. I mean, I've met kids that just, they knew something was wrong. They didn't know it was called an eating disorder, but they knew that they were acting out their behaviors and how they felt about themselves through food, and they didn't know why. Friends can also see an eating disorder in another friend. I think a lot of people see it and say, oh, no, it couldn't be so, and so they walk away. But the most important thing we can do is reach out and steer people toward help, because the longer they have an eating disorder, the more difficult it is to dig it out, you know, to get better. That's why we're really encouraging early intervention, screenings for parents. Don't panic just to, you know, take the child by the hand and say, I'm concerned. And I think we need to talk to somebody and get the person to appropriate help.
Oh, so what do we look for? Parents, what to look for? Friends, what to look for? What are some of the signs and red flags?
Okay, the first thing, you know, with anorexia certainly is a weight loss, and yet everybody who's thin, you can't assume that they have an eating disorder. But if you, you know, they could have an illness, a major illness, but once you know that that's not the case, significant weight loss certainly is a way to see anorexia, and avoidance of meals, certainly, because if they have anorexia, they're avoiding meals at all costs. You know, they don't want to sit down to dinner. They'll say they've already eaten. With eating disorders, people often don't tell the truth. They do anything they can to avoid meals and things that happen around meals. So parents, if they see weight loss, they should pay attention. And also a lot of baggy clothes. When people have anorexia, they really try to hide it by lots of big baggy shirts. They don't want to show what's really going on underneath. Also, mood changes, because with eating disorders come mood changes and avoidance of social situations, and certainly avoidance of meals. If somebody leaves the table immediately to go to the bathroom every time they finish a meal, that's another flag, because they may be purging in the bathroom. You really have to pay attention to, you know, whether your children are eating and whether they're eating, you know, balanced foods. And that doesn't mean that we should ban cupcakes. I mean, that's the other ridiculous piece of this. In the midst of discussions about obesity, people are saying, well, no more cupcakes at lunch. You know, a cupcake at lunch for a birthday party is not a problem. It's when you start eating, you know, several cupcakes that it's a problem. So we have to be careful not to overreact. But the signs and symptoms really are changes in behaviors around food. Suddenly a child becomes a vegetarian for no real reason. They'll probably make up some story about why they're a vegetarian, but they're suddenly trying to get rid of some food groups so they can get rid of the calories. And again, they'll manipulate a lot of ways to avoid meals, to sit down with the family, and to have to engage in, you know, in mealtime.
More
so
common
that's
with
a big one.
That is a big one, and that's what we should watch for, these symptoms. But it's more common in girls, correct? But it does happen to boys.
Yes, it's more common in girls, but I have to tell you, we are seeing more and more males with eating disorders, and that's a sad story to say, but let's think about it. There's a whole lot of focus now on, you know, the six-pack, the abs of a young man. You know, people didn't used to talk about that now, so there's more pressure on males to, quote, look a certain way. But when you notice a friend or a family member, a loved one, somebody suddenly doing different things around food, or they'll say they just ate, and so they're making an excuse to eat, but they'll sit and drink water. You'll also sometimes see larger people And they, you'll say, I wonder how they got to be so large, because they, you know, they're not eating very much. But sometimes people are binge eaters, and that's a new diagnosis that's going to be set, put in the record in May. It's called binge eating disorder, and that's when somebody does the binging, a great deal of food, usually in private, but they don't purge it or get rid of it in any way. You know, bulimia is binging and purging, and the purging could be over-exercise, it could be laxative abuse, it could be, you know, purging. I mean, there's a lot of different ways people figure this out. But, you know, they're all dangerous, by the way. Eating disorders, you know, are just, they're serious, and they really can hurt your body, and they have the highest death rate of any mental illness. So we need to take this seriously, very much as a society and as family members and friends. And there's nothing to be ashamed of with an eating disorder, by the way. People don't choose to have an eating disorder. They just start to not feel good about themselves. Something is just affecting them, and they're showing how they feel through their behaviors with food.
Speaking of, you know, what happens when, and not feeling that guilt, and also not only to the person with the eating disorder, but the parents, to not feel the guilt that they caused this somehow. But if, God forbid, you spot this in your child and you see this, what are some of the treatments? I mean, is there hope? Are you, I mean, as a parent, do you think, oh my God, now this? And everybody pictures Karen Carpenter, you know, even though it was so long ago, but she was kind of the face that brought this to light. And so what are the treatments that are going on out there now?
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up Karen Carpenter, because that was so many years ago, and you don't want to know how many people have died since Karen Carpenter. They just weren't famous singers, you know?
They weren't famous.
We need to really remember, you know, that this will kill people, yet we can get people to treatment. Our new theme, actually, for NIDA is Feeding Hope, because that's what we plan to be doing. If you recognize that there's some problems, the first thing you do is get the person to some counseling, some specialized eating disorder treatment. As wonderful as many psychologists and psychiatrists are, we strongly recommend you go to somebody who's a trained eating disorder specialist. And you don't have to wait till they get so sick. Why are we letting people get so sick? Let's try to, you know, get it early. So if you see somebody or know somebody, you take them by the hand kindly. You tell them you're concerned. Chances are they'll say, oh, there's nothing the matter, I'm just not hungry today. But if you have a good relationship, you really need to try. If you saw somebody with a gun to their head, I think you would try to talk them out of keeping the gun to their head. Eating disorders are a gun to a head. So if we can early get it, parents don't have to panic. Nobody needs to get all upset. It's nobody's fault. It wasn't the parents' fault. There's no blame. Let's just recognize that there's a problem and get the child or the individual to counseling and a physical. And at that point, you can determine what treatment would be best. They might need inpatient treatment. Sometimes you just have to get somebody hospitalized to refeed them, because you have to get their nutrition going while you're trying to also work with the mental component. So it's like a physical and mental illness at the same time. Because as a result of not appropriate nutrition and feeding yourself or keeping food down, I mean, it could really seriously affect your organs. Heart failure can happen. You can have people go into a coma. They can have electrolyte balance.
As you say, it kills more people than any other mental illness. Now, in just the last 30 seconds, Lynn, please give us your best advice for eating disorders, spotting them, and your website where everybody can get great information.
Okay. Our website is www.nationaleatingdisorders.org. Helpline is 1-800-931-2237. And as I said, we have a screening tool there. But don't be afraid. Families, mothers, fathers, sisters, don't be afraid. Let's just get these people to help. Immediately, help is there. Residential treatment is another option. Counseling is an option. Help is available.
Help is available. The website is nationaleatingdisorders.org. Help is available, so try and recognize those symptoms. Have a better body image. We all need to think about health and really just keep it that way. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.